The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is great to be back. I hope everybody enjoyed their Emancipation Day holiday weekend. I will say that I surely had a great time. It is Tuesday, the 6th of August, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Again, I am still recovering from the Hannah Hasty Tynes family reunion. I want to say good morning to the whole Bahamas, in particular the Hannah Hasty Tynes clan. And I want us all to join in a good morning for Ms. Elva Hasty Gamble. She is 98 years old, and she is the oldest lived to attend this year's 2024 family reunion at 98 years old. She's never missed a family reunion since they began in 1982. And it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to have her with us. I mean, an absolute pleasure, along with Uncle Reinhard Pearson and his sister Emily, and a whole wide range of guests that joined us. I want to say thank you to Sharon Stewart and her entire family, to Claude Hannah and his entire family, to Barbara and Paul Hepburn and their family for hosting our events at their beautiful residences this weekend. We want to say good morning and thank you to Aunt Sylvia Roll, who, if y'all don't know, makes the best stew conch and dumplings I have ever had. We also want to say good morning to Cousin Reverend Clifford Smith and the Southside Christian Ministries International family for hosting us on Sunday at the church service. And we want to say thank you to Just Play Jumbo Games. I just want to make this note. I ain't ashamed to say it. Every competition I have ever entered with Aunt Esther Hannah Kulmer, I have lost. The Fun Run Walk Race, she won. The Jumbo Games Connect Four, she beat me. The Jumbo Games Cornhole, she beat me. The Hannah Hasty Tynes Hot Dog Eating Competition, she beat me. Esther Hannah Kulmer is the champion of the Hannah Hasty Tynes Games, And we want to say thank you to the Marriott Courtyard and to our favorite bus driver for making sure everybody got to where they needed to be on a busy holiday weekend. Again, from the entire Hanasty Times Family Association Executive Committee, thank you to all of the members that showed up from abroad, locally, from the Family Islands, to all of the members who didn't show up but sent their support, absolute support, prayers, and love, and energy, and to all of the other partners that made the event a success, including our very own printmasters, Printmasters 242. Say thank you to all of them. Now, we've got lots to talk about this morning, including Paris Olympics 2024, traffic, and then there are a whole bunch of stories. So my first text for the morning says, good morning. I heard on the radio about the person who fell off the back of the truck and died. It's sad, but also so unnecessary. Police should bring charges against the driver of that truck, because if I'm not mistaken, it's against the law. It is against the law for you to sit on the edge of the truck, the back of the truck. It's against the law for you to stand up in the truck while it's moving. You're supposed to be in a seated position at all times in the truck. And in fact, the truck, the bed of the truck, is not supposed to be carrying passengers. In fact, when your vehicle is insured, it is insured the number of passengers that you can legally carry must correspond with the number of seat belts in the vehicle. So you're not even supposed to be transporting people in the back of trucks, in open, not cabs, in the open bed of the truck. Certainly, you're not supposed to be sitting on the side of the truck, right? The wall of the bed of the truck. You're not supposed to be standing either. Charges should be brought. And I'm going to be honest with you, Texter, after what I've witnessed over the last 2 weeks, charges should be brought against the police as well for dereliction of duty. I didn't come in on Friday. I'm sorry that I missed the show. I had a courtesy call with the Prime Minister. But since then, let me tell you what I've witnessed, including on my way to work this morning. I was sorely disappointed when I realized that there was a police truck with a policeman in it who witnessed the driver in front of him run the stop sign at Post Office Hill Street and East Street. And when I blew my horn to indicate to him what he may have missed, the officer looked me square in my face and turned his head and gone about his business, also not stopping properly at the stop sign. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller.
Caller, there is talking to voice along with you, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. Can be better.
Blessings.
The Lord's help. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
A couple of things I want to say, right? I want the government to take responsibility and do something about it. Number one, right? Too much youngsters, teenagers, and early 20s guys of Haitian parentage in the Mason sedition.
Brayman. Let me take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay, Brayman. I will contact you later to find out where you're going with that thread, but I want to tell you at the beginning of this journey, I think we're stepping in the wrong direction. Too many young people of Haitian descent in the community, where that's where they live, Brayman, where they're supposed to be. If that's where they live, where are they supposed to be? See, when we talk about a housing crisis, right, what we're talking about is the fact that not only are some people unhoused, like they don't have a home to live in, but that the housing that does exist is inadequate. Given a culture that expects people to not be seen, right? You know, we don't even, you know, you tell children you could be seen but not heard. We don't even want these young people to be seen. But they have no yards to sit in. They have no backyards to congregate in. a semi-private space. Let's go to the phone line, producer. We'll get back to traffic in a second. Good morning, caller.
Erin, I haven't finished.
You, Brayman, did we put you on pause for a reason? Because what you're saying starts off as highly incendiary. You can't just categorize a group of people like that. Not even that you bring no reference to the social dynamic that exists. If they live in the Masons Edition community, where are they supposed to go, Brayman?
Point.
Pardon?
You're missing the point.
What is the point, Brayman?
The point is, don't be shooting guns.
Okay. So, Brayman, don't call back right now. Like I said, I'll call you back. It's highly incendiary, what you started off with, and what you finished with is also highly incendiary. Because how can you state, as a matter of fact, that every single individual that is involved in gun violence in that community is of Haitian descent? It's not time for hysterics and rhetoric. It's time for serious action. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning, Mr. Weatherford. How are you doing?
As a fellow comet, I think you're on point. And people who don't know what the comets are, well, they didn't hang out with the politicians' children. I'll leave it at that. Now, yeah, they went to the public school, not the private school. You know, where the politicians' children them go. I always said that if the politicians' children went to the public school, mm-hmm. they would have tennis courts, swimming pools, and a lovely cafeteria. But anyway, it's another story. I actually had a politician tell me that she put her child in a fancy private school, one of the best, to make space for someone who was underprivileged. I said, if you really cared about an underprivileged, you would have put them in that fancy school and left your child in the public school and made it better. Anyway.
Wow. That's
Go on. Yeah, that's a wow. Anyway. I really wanted to talk to you about something that I think is very important this morning. And it's your parents and my parents, the seniors. You know, how we treat our seniors, our stray animals, and our graveyards. Tell me about any country when I visit, if I want to live there. You know, there's seniors here making $300 to $400 a month on pension.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's highly offensive when they have to have somewhere to live, medicine, food, and we know the whole list of stuff that your parents need.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot for the life of me understand why we can only give them $300-$400 pension after they contribute all their life, right, to building a country. And on top of that, we charge them VAT. And the only money they have is their pension. So you're taking the VAT directly from their pension when they make every purchase. In the U.S., I don't believe they charge senior citizens the same tax as the rest of the people. Now, I'll leave you with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that little $300 a month, we should strive, and it wouldn't be enough, but it would be more, to give them what they get monthly per week. Now, I've actually had a politician argue with me on the weekend over this. Where would the money come from?
His paycheck. Sorry, that slipped out. My bad, slipped out.
No, you need to say all-day paycheck, but you got money to buy 200 and what was it, $20-30 million in boats. You got money for $17 million in drone. You got money. I'm not picking on anybody or party. You got money to put $2+ million into some plane. But you can't give your parents proper living money because they still have to live with the kids at $300 a week.
You think so? They can live on their own because that's what they decided. Thank you, Graham.
Yeah,
I get your point. I want to say thank you very much. It's an important point that you make, and I won't let it just drop off or die, particularly because, you know, one of the elements of the family reunion was getting to meet, and for some people, meet again, check in with the elders of the family, right? And so the reunion, that was like a very big part of the space, was recognizing senior members of the family that took the effort, that made the effort to come out to as many events as possible. It's a wide topic also, Graham, because, you know, I'm going to say clearly that you're absolutely right. It is our job as younger generations to ensure the best quality of life for our elders, right? But it's also our job as younger generations to acknowledge that we too will get old. And that while we are young, we have an obligation to create the mechanisms, the spaces, the tools, the resources to ensure that our elderly, our senior citizens, our geriatrics, our 3 score and 10 gang can live as comfortably as possible. And if we're only going to do it because we're selfish, so that we may enjoy a comfort when we reach that age. And you're right, Weatherford. You can tell the quality of life in a country by assessing how they treat the animals, the elderly, how they honor the dead. So let's get back to traffic. And this is a great segue. Why don't we have public transportation systems for the elderly so that they continue to maintain their autonomy and mobility without risking their own lives and the lives of others on the road? I want to remind you of something I said last week. You can't drive on Johnson Road the same way you drive on Kelly Lane. And you can't drive on the Eastern Road the same way you drive on Johnson Road. You can't drive on Shirley Street the same way you drive on the Eastern Road. You can't drive on JFK Highway the same way you drive on Shirley Street. They are all different types of roads. There are different expectations from the drivers on each road. And so I want to say to the senior members of our community, to the 3 score and 10 gang, who are determined to maintain their autonomy and mobility in a country without systems that look to or take care of the elderly, that yes, you have a right to be on the road, but no, you don't have a right to be driving 7 miles an hour on the highway. No, you don't have the right to be driving next to your neighbor at the same speed on a dual carriageway. No, you don't have the right to pull into traffic and decide you're going to police it by dropping the speed of oncoming traffic from 30 miles an hour to 12 miles an hour. See, no, you shouldn't have to beg, ride, and negotiate with your children over whether they could take you to the clinic or the pharmacy or the things you need to do. But in the absence of systems that provide equitable access to the road, mobility, autonomy to the elderly, you still have to work within the systems that exist. Is it frustrating? Surely. Losing your capacity and capability to do things that you used to do easily without even thinking about it? But that doesn't mean that you get to be a reckless driver. And yes, sometimes doing 7 miles an hour makes you a reckless driver. Same thing to the people who insist on driving while using their cell phone. I argue that 70% of us should not be allowed to operate motor vehicles. You don't believe me? Have you checked out the traffic reports over the last, say, week and a half? Let's start here. I want to send sincere condolences to the Sweeting and All Green families. Another person that I am acquainted with has passed away in a tragic traffic fatality. And so to Melissa Sweeting and family and Cadell All Green and family, I send sincerest condolences. And then we could talk about the traffic fatality at Mount Pleasant this weekend. And then we could talk about the traffic fatality involving a pedestrian in Cat Island, I think it was, this weekend. We could talk about the bad traffic accident in Abaco this weekend. We could talk about the bad traffic accident on the Eastern Road right next to Johnson Road this weekend. And I could ask, why are y'all being so reckless and careless in the middle of an ongoing construction work zone? How much speed are you making? See, I know you didn't cause the accident, but did you prevent the accident? On Friday or Saturday, I think Friday or Saturday morning, Friday morning when I was on the way to an event traveling Cable Beach, I was cut off by a vehicle that was exiting Scotiabank. They weren't paying attention to the speed of traffic that they were entering. They just decided they was leaving the bank. It didn't bother me much. I was aware of them. I was able to drop my speed, and I was already aware that the lane was closing ahead of us, so I put on my turn signal to move into the right lane behind the car that cut me off. As we come to a stop at the roundabout, I hear screech, I hear tires peeling, screeching behind me. And then I hear Bram. And then I say a small thank you because it wasn't my car that was hit. But the person who was about to run into the back of my car hit a truck that was parked on the sidewalk. Also, on that note, if you're traveling on the Eastern Road today, Ministry of Works have every single cone on New Providence on that road. Be careful. Every single cone is on the Eastern Road in the midst of the roadworks between Montague and Johnson Road. The texter says, Aaron, you shouldn't be tailgating either. Let's talk about that. Dear texter, I'm going to call your cell phone number one day and I'm going to ask you, why are you constantly driving on your cell phone? And I want to say to Bahamians, lest you continue to embarrass yourself, ask yourself this question, what's worse, committing traffic offenses or being annoyed at people who highlight the traffic offenses that you commit? Ask yourself that, texter. Another text, Aaron, I keep telling you all that we won't get no blessings until we get rid of all the cursed Moses crew, but God moving and working now. Another text, Aaron, if your family don't control the sun like the Wilsons, or the post office like the Simonettes, or politics like the Pindlings, or have several business ventures like the Kellys, what are your family's contribution to society? Serious question. You asking what the Hannah Hasty Times contribution to society is, sir? Texter? Since you have your phone in your hand all the time, why you don't Google it? Just Google it. That's all. It speaks for themselves. They speak for themselves. The legacy speaks for itself. It's okay. You should have come out to the reunion. I told you I'll come. You could have gotten adopted into the family. You could have found an aunt, an uncle, a mommy, a daddy. I even almost found a husband. Good morning, Ms. Green. Love your thoughts on riding on the back of a truck on the island. They don't have public transportation. The back of a pickup truck may be a means of transportation, but if you have to, but both driver and passenger should apply or be mindful of safety first. Oh, no, I understand that. I went to summer camp every summer in Eleuthera. Back of the truck is main transportation. It shouldn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It is. And so if you're sitting on the back, if you're riding on the back of the truck, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to sit down. That's what you're supposed to do. And hold on to the edges. So, the traffic is horrible this weekend. I didn't even mention the video I saw where the car was so deep in the bush. It took them hours and hours to pull the car out of the bush from like early in the morning, 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. to sunlight. But at this point, something has to change. And I can end the segment with this. When y'all go out drinking, I just want to ask, I don't go out drinking. When y'all go out drinking, like you say, we going out drinking. How are you surprised at the end of the night that you drunk? Like, how come nobody ever thought that you would get drunk and decide to have a designated driver? And when you realize that you're drunk, at what point do you say, oh, I should park my car? But I'm not mad at y'all. I'm mad at the Royal Bahamas Police Force that refuses to enforce traffic controls. So I can be honest with y'all, I don't care about Michael Johnson, Fox, Roberts. I don't care, that's above my pay grade. That's above my pay grade. What frightens me to death is that police officers don't wear seatbelts. They drive with their cell phone in their hand. They don't stop at stop signs. They don't stop at red lights. They don't enforce traffic controls. They pull their car up on the sidewalk on top of the pedestrian crossing. They ignore people almost running pedestrians down on the pedestrian crossing. They're ignoring entirely the slew of taxis, limos, livery drivers, tour buses, commercial vehicles with the company names clearly emblazoned on them. They're ignoring them turning right on red on Mackey and Shirley Street. That garden leave stuff, that's above my pay grade. What frightens me to death is that y'all are killing each other on the road and the police are actively not doing anything about it. They are overtly and consciously not enforcing traffic controls. Another text, good morning, Aaron. I don't think it's fair to criticize only the senior drivers. Some of them drive better than regular drivers. Also, I think you may need a helicopter to hover above the bad driving. Now, I'm not singling senior citizen drivers out. Not at all. Another text, Aaron, you find a husband, you could loan him out, create a 20-year plan or so with reasonable interest. That's all most people out here need. To the cones, I sure they borrowed some of them from Florida. I was wondering why they rammed the eastbound traffic into the off-road trail bike trail. Well, you want to know why they did that? Let me tell you all why they put the cones up. This is my, I'm surmising, I'm speculating in the absence of information like public road closure notices and explanations, you know? So the accident that occurred this weekend on the Eastern Road just outside of Johnson Road corner, it appears as if a person who should have been in the eastbound lane refused to maintain their lane and forced, or the vehicle in the westbound lane perhaps was unable to stop and hit the wall just outside of Johnson Road. And perhaps they put the cones up because people refused to govern themselves and drive properly. Another text, Ms. Green, I saw a speed limit posted like 30 miles an hour and vehicles doing 60 and 70 miles an hour. Where you saw that? I mean, I'm not doubting you. I just want to know where you saw it. See, the upper speed limits and in developed countries that have multi-lane roadways, there is like a lower speed limit where an officer will indicate that you are obstructing traffic by driving too slowly in the lane that you are in. Now the text, good morning, and why are police officers having roadblocks late in the evenings in dimly lit areas? I was actually afraid for their safety at the back of Pinewood near Nassau Village a few nights ago. I agree. But you know, Pinewood have plenty escape route. Maybe they didn't want to alert oncoming drivers to their presence. And on that note, is anybody in the Ministry of Works or Ministry responsible for energy? Have any of y'all driven on JFK recently? Have you counted the number of streetlights that are not operating, not non-operable, that are off? And the patches of JFK that are absolutely dark and become a hazard for motorists. Also, just to cap off this session, another text. Aaron, how long you been living here? Aaron, at this point in time, I don't care what goes on around me. I don't go out. I go to work and go home and hope maybe one day I pack up my stuff and leave. I am done. Dear texter, I sort of relegated myself to that life too, you know. But with this family reunion planning, I had to come out my house. And while I'm out my house, I'm scared. In fact, it don't matter if you just limit your life to work, church, home, school, food store. On the way to work this morning, I had to divert because two vehicles tried to turn from Market Street onto Chapel Street at the same time. I could see how that happened because y'all refused to use your turn signals. Why spend $40,000, $60,000 on a car and not use the turn signal? Why spend $2,000 on a car and not use the turn signal? Aaron, you see Fred Mitchell trying to spin sensible person, trying to spin. Sensible people know that the country broke, the government owes everyone. Start cutting consultation fees, promoting these lousy hotels, and who firing Bahamians. That's a whole bunch of issues in one text, Texter. I don't know why the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party uses the communications means or methods that he does. It appears that everybody but the government knows that the Bahamas is broke. I don't know if we need to start cutting consultation fees. We need to start talking to the people about why consultants are necessary and whether we can find them in country. Also, Cousin Fred Mitchell, we missed you at the family reunion. You were greatly missed. Another text. Robinson Road and Prince Charles Corridor between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. People are doing 60 and 70. I agree. That intersection at Marathon where like Robinson Road turns over into Prince Charles, the people there don't have any respect for law and order. They don't care about light. They don't care about turn signal. They don't care about you have the right of way. They don't care about any of that. You know who else doesn't care? The Royal Bahamas Police Force doesn't care either. Otherwise, they would be post up there collecting revenue for the government. Someone said there's a fleet of Pike trucks on Golden Isles Road. If you power off or you need some attention, see if you could leave a word with the trucks. The Texas says, listen. And then there are the young men on mopeds blowing their horns and popping their bikes through in the middle of traffic. It's not just the young men. It's all the motorcycle drivers who refuse to maintain the lane, who create a third lane, and then when they can't go any further in their third lane, they force their way in front of your car, forcing you to give way to them. It's not just the young boy. It's a lot of senior man them on these bikes carrying on like fools. And I say that intentionally because you get very upset when you feel that someone has come close to hitting you. But you have no concern about how you are not following any of the laws. And don't look at me and tell me you got a bike so you didn't have to follow the rules. You got a bike so you could create a third lane. Tell me that. Tell me that. Imagine what I can tell you. Another texter says, have you ever been sandwiched between someone trying to squeeze their way out of a corner and someone inching into the opposite lane of traffic trying to turn? I couldn't believe it. And there was a line of traffic behind me. What are these people doing? Does anybody wait anymore? Say, I'm going to show you a vibe, texter. Nobody even understands what the right of way means. To understand what the right of way means, you got to understand what the rule of law means. And to understand what the rule of law means as a layman, you rely on those who operate and have to operate within the rule of law to model it. But our politicians have not been modeling it. They have not been modeling the rule of law or the right of way. In fact, people who don't understand consent also don't understand the right of way. If you don't understand that when a female looks like a child, that's a stop sign. You also don't know what a stop sign on the road indicates to you or should indicate to you. I'll read the text, but I will leave traffic alone for now. I just want to say that far too many people have died on the road this weekend, in the last week, in the last 2 weeks. It's just too much. And exacerbating the problem is the Royal Bahamas Police Force's overtly not enforcing traffic controls. So here's some more stories. Former PM recovering in hospital following corrective procedure. Former PM Perry Christie underwent a corrective procedure on Saturday after he was admitted to doctor's hospital with symptoms of an acute heart condition. the doctors in charge of his case say he is now convalescing remarkably well. He is awake, alert, and in excellent spirits. Christie is expected to remain in hospital for several days. Phone calls and visits have been restricted. Another text. Aaron, Lord, Bahamians, please don't let no party win by a landslide. We can't take no more. All over the world, prime ministers resigning, but in the Bahamas, they want to die in the job. Man, I hear they talking about Trump have some serious changes to the U.S. legislature if he gets elected, one of them being removing the two-term limit. Texas says, that's exactly why they got a bike. You don't need to stop at the light. You get to zoom in front of cars and make a third lane, Aaron. I want a moped, too. You be safe, man. Y'all be safe out there. Here's another story. Albany New Year's Eve sex assault case dismissed. Spencer Charrington, son of Albany top executive Peter Charrington, had sexual assault charges dismissed on Friday stemming from an alleged incident at a Moulin Rouge New Year's Eve party at the resort. Chief Magistrate Roberto Reckley arraigned Charrington on indecent assault. Mr. Charrington was accused of groping Philip Gagnon's spouse during a party at the resort. Mr. Gagnon was formally accused of slapping Mr. Charrington in the aftermath of the incident before his charge of causing harm was withdrawn in June. Mr. Charrington broke down in tears when he heard the charge against Mr. Gagnon was dropped. While Mr. Charrington pleaded not guilty to the offense, the complainant in the matter came forward to drop the charges, resulting in the case against the defendant being withdrawn. Another story, businessman acquitted of rape of teen. Businessman Henry Richard Nixon Jr. broke down in tears yesterday after a jury acquitted him of unlawful sexual intercourse. The 61-year-old owner of Cover Up Bahamas had been accused of sexually assaulting a 15-year-old American tourist at the Bahama Resort on April 14, 2021. The jury of seven women and two men took 15 minutes to reach their decision of not guilty, 8-1. According to the teen's father, he met Nixon naked on top of his daughter. The father said he pushed him off and said, "Get off of her, you sick expletive. She's only 15. The father said Nixon replied, "I thought she was 21. He said his daughter told him that Nixon had forced her to have sex. I thought this gentleman was charged with unlawful sexual intercourse, which would have been intercourse involving a minor. I thought that even though the name of the offense had changed, that it was still statutory. Like, it didn't matter how you ended up there. The fact that the child was a minor was sufficient to warrant the charge. The girl said, according to her calls were disturbing her sister, that is the young girl who wanted to sleep. The girl said that Nixon told her to hold his arm and guided her to the cabanas and pressured her to take cocaine before he raped her. Nixon didn't take the witness stand, but in his police interview, he denied having sex with the teen. Nixon's lawyer, Kevon Maynard, said the parents were suing Bahama for $10 million and they wanted to be rewarded for negligent parenting. I am disturbed not just by the case itself, but by the outcome of the case. So you have another text. Since you bring up the sex case, I didn't know a defense for statutory rape. I just asking, I didn't know this was possible. Again, I'm still waiting on the rationale from the state, the reason why they changed the offense from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse, and whether the crime is still statutory. Should it not be an automatic conviction because the child is a minor? Because shouldn't adults be certain of this type of information before they engage in sexual intercourse with another person? Anyway, that music means it's time for a break. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Send a text in. What's the most outrageous thing you've seen on the road in the last couple of weeks? You'll be right back.
Planning a trip to the beautiful Bahamas? Look no further than Hertz Car Rental. With convenient locations in Nassau and Freeport, Grand Bahama, we are here to get you there. Whether you're exploring the vibrant streets and sights of Nassau or soaking up the sun in Freeport, Hertz has the perfect ride for your adventure. Book at our Freeport location at 352-3297 or Nassau location at 377-8684 or visit our website at HertzBahamas.com. All major credit cards accepted. Hertz Car Rental. Your journey starts with us.
Attention Bahamas. Embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock and we got a caller on the line ready to go. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Can't hear anything in here, producer? Okay. I guess we lost you, caller. You could call back. All right. I had the Bahamas National Reparations Committee story up, but there's a story in The Guardian. I see another call coming in, producer. Jamaican man wrongfully detained gets $2 million in damages. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Erin Cuz.
Good morning. How you do?
Sorry, I missed the reunion.
That's your business.
I was coming to adopt a family.
Yeah.
And probably find me a husband, too.
There you go. I jealous for you because you miss it.
Man, I hear lots, and they said what was oh, they hear it was loaded, man. How come I missed that?
Listen, the event exploded over like the last four or five days.
Mm.
So we're talking like 3 weeks past the deadline for registration, and the people just pile up. In fact,
wow.
I would say at like the soiree, people had to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, at the end of the night, there were about 40 more people than registered at the event. But imagine you put your money, you have your money in your hand, you dress up, you smell good, you drive all the way out there and the people tell you you can't come in? Nah, so we just let people in.
And then I got to stand in here?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what's beautiful about our family. A lot of the younger people and the men, when they saw that there were women left standing because they came late, they accommodated them by giving them their seat at the table.
Oh, that's so honorable.
Yeah, man. The young people and our gentlemen's, they something else, man. But we had a really nice size crowd come in from out of town, and that was fabulous as well.
Wow. Well, I wanted to call in and tell you one of the most oddest things that I've seen in traffic.
Yes, ma'am.
I still saw a gentleman stop midway around the roundabout to allow a friend and him to have a conversation and then allow the friend to cross.
Mm-hmm.
The friend was on the giveaway side.
Mm-hmm.
He was already fully on his side, and he just hit his brakes because he saw someone he knew and wanted to have a conversation while going around the roundabout.
Yeah. It's amazing. See, remember I talk about that we don't understand what authority means? Like, mm-hmm. when authority is vested in us, we think it means that we've been given the power to do whatever we want? As opposed to, we have now have an obligation to ensure that the rules are enforced. That's,
yeah.
That's a part of it. I'm watching people stop on roundabout. How are you going to stop on the roundabout and tell me I could enter the roundabout and go my way?
Exactly. I'm already on the giveaway side. I have to stop to allow you and the other traffic to flow until there's an opportunity for me.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's saying Mackie Street, Shirley Street, red light there, you always talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the taxi, day before yesterday, load of a tourist almost slammed into me.
Yeah.
But my light on green, their light's on red. And she, a female, she come over there bawling. And I slam brakes, and she cussing at me with the tourist in the car. So I said, "Mom, but your light on red.
Yeah.
Mine's on green."
It's like taxi drivers feel like they've been deputized. And they could do what they want.
That red light, even though it's convenient, I think as much as you've been talking about that, there should be periodically from time to time an officer not in sight. So when they turn the corner, they would meet that officer that's sitting there waiting.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, cousin.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Producer, let's go to the next call and then I can get to these texts. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry we miss you, caller. Please call back. All right. Great show as usual. You mean we can't win one medal? These athletes ain't focused. They too busy on social media and touring Paris. We might as well did not send no one to Paris, buddy. The government need to pay more attention to our athletes, and we believe in too much mediocre in the Bahamas. Dear Texter, I'm not sure if that's what the reason why we seem not to be in medal contention. I'm not sure. I don't think the government, well, when you say pay more attention to our athletes, yes, the athletes need more resources. They need residential training camps. We need to pay attention to the BOC. I'm sure I said this last week, but I'll reiterate it. There are many reasons why we could call for the resignation of the Bahamas Olympic Committee. Did you know that breakdancing was a competition, a discipline in this year's Olympics? Did you know at all? Producer, we could go to the phone line. Aaron, you know we have the worst fourth estate in the world. All the Tommy Tuckers muted now, but we won't forget the weaklings. Dear Texter, I don't know if we have the worst fourth estate in the world. I don't think so. I can't say that. What I do know is that our media is severely underfunded. Severely and extremely underfunded. But the reporters that I know, they make the best of all of the resources they have. And they do a good, if not decent, job. And it's difficult to report the news in a place whose primary culture is you peep some and you keep some. You know, a legacy of the drug era. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Miss Green.
Morning, 52. How you do?
Yeah, I write you in the struggle. But, you know, the last text, I love the person, you know, because they have come to realize that nobody's going to fund real investigative journalism. Whilst I do appreciate you and many others on the radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know the constraints. You know, maybe the underread or the bookless or whatever, right? But the truth be told, lo and behold, people have different opinions about everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even the truth about God, the truth about science. You want to see when Andrew come on, people have the problem with the truth. Problem is, even they didn't know the truth about science either. So what I'm saying is, we don't have really a public intellectual willing to go against the grain and use his brain to enlighten the public on anything that concerns the public. Now, the most absurd thing I've seen in traffic, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't even, there's so many, but you know, as a cyclist, so I don't want to talk with me. I want to talk, but I saw an imbecile riding northbound on southbound Market Street from Carter Avenue to just before you reach Anders Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
He rode northbound, and the lady was walking southbound, an elderly lady, and he was on the innermost lane, which will be on the western side of the western lane,
mm-hmm.
and he clipped this lady because he didn't want to go on the sidewalk, and even so, he was would always have been wrong for riding northbound on a southbound lane on a motorcycle. He clipped this lady, elderly lady, and he almost knocked it on. And I got so angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he stopped right by a liquor store nearby. So, I mean, the guy, she lived right through the corner. So, you see why we have to defend for ourselves. Now, something had happened to him if the lady decided to run on it. Just tell the young fella sitting down there.
Yeah.
Inebriated with rum. So, we are left to fend for ourselves.
Yes.
With the lack of enforcement of city ordinances. Everybody parks on the sidewalk. You mentioned these things, but, you know, this is what sickens me. But then somebody chopped someone or getting problem over their rights. I saw, you know what I saw, Aaron?
Yes, sir.
I saw a guy sleeping on the sidewalk and the tourist walking southbound on Market Street North,
mm-hmm.
and the guy wouldn't move. And it was embarrassing for me because the guy's inebriated and he's out of Purity Bakery and he's sleeping on the sidewalk and he was awake at the time, but he didn't even move out of the way for the tourist. What kind of country are we in? Why should he be on the sidewalk? It's public. You don't own it.
Listen,
you don't own the sidewalk. He shouldn't be there.
Here's what
you should never allow him to be there. Anyhow.
Thank you, 52.
Yeah.
Here's what's worse. The state is aware of this gentleman's condition. They know even if he has a place to live, he don't go there. We've seen this man naked in the road, dragging his body across the road, demanding visibility. The state is aware of this man's presence in the community. And the question is, if there are no provisions that exist right now to resolve his issue, why are you not feverishly working provisions in law to be able to ensure that this man's needs are taken care of? He is obviously in psychological distress, if nothing else. Another text. Ms. Green, most outrageous, not all, but taxi drivers with guests driving recklessly, running stop signs, swinging out into traffic. And here's my thing. You run a stop sign or red light. Why is it that you drop to 7 miles an hour immediately after running the stop sign or red light? Aren't we supposed to presume that you have an emergency and that's the reason why you broke the law? That you have an emergency. Why are you sliding through a stop sign to drive at 7 miles an hour? Another text, it is too hard for the police to be on the road minding grown black people. That's why they on community patrol and they have their windows up. How are you going to smell the young man then burning the herb if your window's up? How are you going to hear the young girl crying for help or right because she's being molested or Grammy crying for help because she fell down if your windows are up and your AC is on? Coming to you in a moment, callers. Good morning again. Imagine a car almost totaled me on that light on Mackey Street near Wendy's and Bar 20 Corner. I'm coming from Bar 20. My light is green. They're taking over the car in front of them to turn left to Bar 20. No care in the world. That's another intersection. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Calling about the concern with the lack of police, I guess, on the street and enforcing the traffic laws.
Yes, ma'am.
The roundabout down at Sanders Beach.
Yes.
What I noticed as of late and more, the young men who rent those, I think they call them the wheelies, the four wheelies.
The ATVs.
The tourists.
Yeah, the ATVs.
Right. So someone must have deputized them as well, because what they do, they speed out into the middle of the roundabout and hold up the traffic for the tourists to come through.
Yeah.
And they're doing it more and more, and they're doing it recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where when I'm going home in the evening now, I notice the tourists just doing it by themselves.
Yep.
You know? And someone needs to deal with that, because like some of the previous caller, I think 52 mentioned, right, if you get fed up and, you know, you get into an altercation, then it's a problem. But they're going to have an accident there. I'm not wishing it, but I'm saying what is more likely to happen if some control isn't put in place regarding that.
Absolutely.
So that needs to be dealt with as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Just as the music plays, last text, two text says, I saw a cube on the sidewalk rowing out the person walking on the sidewalk for walking too slow as the car was trying to use the sidewalk. Another text, yesterday I was at the traffic stop by the university heading northeast. Two young boys on bikes passed me. The first thing I noticed was how they were dressed. Very clean, good haircuts, and they stopped at the light. I couldn't believe it. I thought, how cute. Look at those two nice young boys obeying the law. I actually started smiling. That restored my faith in humanity. Then I looked to the right. Coming out from the stadium side was a nice police truck. The police exited the corner and proceeded on their way. The two boys waited 5 seconds, and they were through the red light. Faith in humanity destroyed. Dear motorcyclists, y'all are playing with your own lives. Don't bully people on the road. You know why? Because insurance companies don't have feelings. They only have provisions and regulations and rules. They have no feelings. You guys be safe out there. Put your cell phone and headphones on. Driving hands-free does not mean you have earbuds in your ear. Have a good day, Bahamas. Please stay safe. And Hasty Times, people, can't wait till I see you again.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.